Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're reading a story called Beside Bethesda, and it's by Johnny Erickson Tada. If you'll recall, she was the young girl who, in a diving accident, broke her neck and instantly became a quadriplegic. And this is her testimony, her words of encouragement. The title of today's devotion is called Weaving Straw into Gold. It begins with Psalms 138:8, which says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me." The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Now, there is a verse of scripture that has buoyed my spirits in difficult times. And this is Johnny Erickson Tada talking. In her classic devotional book, Streams in the Desert, Mrs. L.B. Cowman wrote, "There is a divine mystery in suffering, one that has a strange and supernatural power and has never been completely understood by human reason. For no one has ever developed deep spirituality or holiness without experiencing a great deal of suffering. When a person who suffers reaches a point where he can be calm and carefree, inwardly smiling at his own afflictions and no longer asking God to be delivered from it, then the suffering has accomplished its blessed ministry. At that point, the pain of the crucifixion has begun to weave itself into a crown." Oh, the contentment of being able to smile at your own afflictions. I'm so very glad that those anxious, fretful days of, "Man, I'm sick and tired of this stupid wheelchair," are far behind me. Now when I lie in bed at night and look at my empty wheelchair over in the corner of the bedroom, I smile. I recognize what it has accomplished in my life over nearly 5 decades. How about the things that crucified you in the past, those events, circumstances, or disappointments that bruised you, pulled you down, or even crushed you? Are those experiences now being woven into a crown? As we wait with patience for the Lord to strengthen and sustain us, we really do begin to feel the weight of our cross being exchanged for the weight of a crown. Nothing can match the glorious assurance that your pain has been transformed. It's difficult to put the outcome into words. You experience a fresh stillness before the Lord. Contentment comes so much more easily. Complaining becomes a thing of the past, as you no longer fantasize about castles in the cloud or pie in the sky. And the only choice that really matters is choosing Jesus in all things, letting circumstances be what they may. That is commitment, so sweet and secure that I wouldn't trade it for anything, not even a whole body. Wow, that is powerful. Our scripture reading is Psalms 131:1-2. "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. And I thank you for the trials that have come our way and strengthened us. I thank you for the peace that passes understanding. And I just hold up to you this show that our words will be your words, our thoughts your thoughts. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. And today we're making a simple greenhouse for kids. This is something that teachers do all the time. It's not my own idea. But you can go and see what I'm talking about on my Pinterest site at mrgamblin2. It's all spelled out MRGAMBLIN and the number 2. The simple greenhouse consists of two clear plastic cups, a little dirt in the bottom of one, and a seed. And you can actually do your seed study if you put more than one seed in. Put one on the outside of the dirt so that your students can see it, so you can incorporate both the seed investigation that we did a few shows ago with your simple greenhouse. And then you put the dirt in, plant a few seeds, make sure it's nice and moist, but not too moist. Put another cup over the top, tape it shut, and a couple of holes in the very top, and just put it in a nice sunny spot in your kitchen or wherever you have your homeschooling going, and then watch. It's so exciting. Kids love to see their seeds come up. And I, in the wintertime, often use bean seeds, but you can use any kind of seeds. It's just great to make a little greenhouse. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. We're going to talk about making a yearbook. And nowadays, with all of the technology, even if you can't do it in your own house, you can take your pictures over to Staples and make a calendar yearbook. It's a really fun thing to have a memory of that year, starting with everything that you did throughout the year. I would never not have a yearbook. We put in our yearbook, we look at our school's calendar. So when you're organizing your calendar, you need to have your calendar plan ahead of time. You need to have a plan, and that needs to include the events on the calendar. And then those same events on that calendar become the pages of your yearbook. So let's say you went and did a soup kitchen. Those pictures are in there. Pictures of the students doing work. Maybe you had a project. Pictures of that project. And so your yearbook headings would be just like that. It would be our investigating how plants work, and then pictures of that project. It's another way of essentially publishing and giving back what your students have learned. A calendar yearbook is only 12 pages. It really is not that difficult. It just takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of intention. If you start at the beginning of the year, then you can have your children be the photographers. They can write any copy if you want to put copy in it. We often don't put much copy in our yearbook except the names of the students. And so whether we have six students, which, you know, that could very well happen, or whether we have 14 students, each student is at least pictured a number of times. And then that becomes a memory. It becomes an archive of what you've accomplished. It gives you a sense of the concrete. You've been working kind of in this abstract world. Now you have concrete proof of what you're doing. Questions parents ask. Well, this is kind of a sad commentary, but it is more prevalent than you realize, and that is the terrible hurts that teachers have inflicted on students. And I probably could name right now 10 to 15 people that I know personally that really have suffered at the hands of teachers. When they said no more corporal discipline, it didn't stop teachers from being abusive. For example, one of the students, well, almost all of the students that I currently have suffered at some point from at the hands of a teacher. So this one student, they did a token economy, which, you know, I like token economies. They did a token economy at that school, and the student could not learn how to do long division. So the teacher brought him up in front and then started auctioning him off to the highest bidder, who would teach him, of the other students, who would teach him how to do long division. He was mortified. He was absolutely mortified. I do not think that teacher realized that was just not the appropriate thing for that particular student. The student might have appeared outgoing and lots of friends, but being brought up in front and auctioned off was a terrible ordeal that he still remembers to this day. I have people who write into me stories, horror stories of what teachers have said, what teachers have done. And if anybody ever has listened to some of the testimonies of Out of Ashes, where teachers have poured really negative words over you instead of blessings, that is hard. So the question is, how do you overcome that? And I think our devotion today, where Johnny Erickson Tata was talking about her suffering, I think all of us have different kinds of suffering. And so the child who's suffered at the hands of a teacher, if they can begin to see that, yes, we have all suffered in different ways, and that's your suffering. So you can either focus on that and let that define who you are, or you can recognize that Satan is seeking whom he can devour. He starts from the moment you're conceived to make sure you are destroyed, that your life is miserable, that you define yourself in a very negative way. And it's your job as a parent or a counselor to help bring that really destructive experience and turn it around and say, you know, we are suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. We are suffering as a witness to his redeeming power in our lives. Don't let that any longer steal your joy. Well, we have to go to break. We are still working on that archive show, Christmas Behind Bars, in the story of Lemuel. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I am here with Lemuel Vega, and he has a tremendous testimony. Hopefully you got to hear it the first half of the show. You can go to his website, christmasbehindbars.org, and learn more. And I promised that we would talk about some of the experiences that you've had with this, connect it to the different inmates and what has come out of it.
Yes, absolutely. There are lives that are being changed and encouraged. I have had gang members come up to me and tell me that they no longer want to be in the gang, that they want to serve Christ. I was in Kentucky a few years back, and there was a man that was in the service, and the program, we were just about ready to start the program, and the chaplain came up to me, and he said, I just want to let you know you have the main Muslim leader in this whole prison in this service. And I thought to myself, why are you telling me that? I don't know this man. I'll tell you that after the service, this man walked up to me, and he asked me if we would have prayer because his mother was really sick with cancer. We went in the back room, we kneeled down, and I prayed for Mom. I said, Lord, thy will be done, not our will, but we know that you can help Mama. He got up and left. He went and got his package, and the chaplain come running up to me, and he said, what'd that man want? What'd that man want? He said, that's the man I was telling you about. I said, what good is that to me? I don't know him. He's done got his package and out the door. The next year, we went back to that prison. And after the service, as I was going in that prison that day, I thought about this man. I didn't know him. I didn't know his name. I was wondering how Mama was doing. After one of the services, this man come out. He put his hand out, and I shook it. He said, you probably don't remember me, but I said, how's Mama doing?
Oh.
He said, Mama's doing so much better. And he stood there. It seemed like 3 minutes, but it was probably 30 seconds, and he stood there. And he said, I'd like to know if you'd have prayer with me. He said, I'm thinking about being a Christian. And we went back in that same area, and we kneeled down and prayed, and I prayed first. I asked him to pray. This time I got his name and his number, and we sent him a beautiful study Bible. And I just saw him last year at another prison in Kentucky. He says he reads his Bible every day. He's not where he wants to be, but he continues to move forward in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, a beautiful thing, it was last Sabbath. We went to the Marian Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's where this ministry started many, many years ago. And after church, this man come up to me and he says, I know you. And I said, what's your name? And he said, my name is Lonnie. He just got out of prison on Thursday. And here it was, Sabbath morning, he was in church.
Amen.
18 years old, he was sentenced to prison with 70 years. Mm. 70 years. In Indiana, you have to do half of your time. So he spent 35 years in prison, got out on Thursday, and he was in church Sabbath morning. He said, you don't know what these packages mean to these people that are in prison who have lost all hope, who have lost family, and have been condemned to die. Some of them, even on death row, have written letters and said, you don't know what this means, that we have not been forgotten. So the work continues to go on. It unfolds. It's not our ministry, but it's our viewers, it's our sponsors, it's those around the world, our listeners, and those of Life Talk Radio that would like to help share the message with those that are incarcerated. David received a package. He was a sex offender in Illinois. He got out. He was attending the services prior to getting out. He actually listened to the radio. He came to a knowledge of the truth. He gave his heart to Jesus. He got out and he came to help us at Christmas Behind Bars. David was driving fork truck. David was helping with the packages. David was going to the prisons and sharing the hope of the gospel, what Christ has done for him. And David got his CDL driver's license, and now he's got full-time work, and David has moved on. And that's what we want to see with Christmas Behind Bars, is we want to help people. It's not about a handout, but it's a hand up. It's about hope in whatever aspect we can. And yesterday morning, I just pulled over and I asked this young man, I said, where's the convention center? And he pointed me to it, and I thanked him, and he looked at the van, and the wording on the van was Christmas Behind Bars. And he said, thank you for what you're doing. I said, hey, man, I said, can you help me set up my booth? And he jumped in the front seat and he came and he helped me set up my booth. And I found out that Matt is a homeless person here in Louisville. His parents sent him here to a rehab center, and he got kicked out of the rehab center for whatever reason. And now he's been homeless here in Louisville for 7 years. So we worked together yesterday. We had the privilege of going out to eat together. And I just wanted to encourage Matt. He's not incarcerated, but yet he's a homeless person here in Louisville. And so I pray by God's grace that he received hope to not give up, to try, because I know that God will provide in whatever aspect for Matt and the many other homeless people around the world.
You know, it's true that incarceration has many different forms.
Amen.
We're imprisoned by our circumstances. We're imprisoned by, you know, our inability maybe to do what needs to be done.
Amen.
Our inability to launch as full-functioning adults. And so many of these people with mental illnesses end up behind bars because we don't have a good mental health system in the United States.
Amen. And Christ has to be the center of that marketplace. I went to a place called Park Center when I was sick with drug addiction. I wanted change. I was suicidal. And I walked into this place called Park Center, and they slid the window back, and they said, can I help you? And I said, I'm really, really sick. They don't understand what it took to pull that car into their parking lot, what it took to get out of the car, what it took to walk into their facility, and what it took to say, I really, really need help. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we charge $75 an hour. I said, I don't have $75. They said, oh, you're one of those folks. Fill out these 6 pages of paperwork and we'll base it off of your wife's income. Well, I don't know how to fill out paperwork, and I needed help, and I needed to talk to somebody. And with the laws of our land, they couldn't even come around and sit down with me for 5 minutes and ask me what was going on. They couldn't pray with me. They couldn't tell me Christ was the answer. And I tell you, I was hopeless. They didn't even tell me about a program called Narcotics Anonymous that I'd never, ever heard about ever before in my life at 30-some years old. So our system is locked up. They're not able to share Christ in the marketplace.
Yes. So what are some of your most pressing needs that our listeners could help with? I mean, you can easily go to ChristmasBehindBars.org and donate there. What are some of your needs?
Well, right now, used Bibles are phenomenal. Used Bibles are worth twice their price that was originally paid for them. So if you have grandmother's Bible or mother's Bible, or if you've got used Bibles on your shelves, you don't want to throw them away. I know you don't. Put them in a box. Put them in a box. Go to the post office. Tell them it's media mail. That will cut your shipping cost in half. Send those to us at Christmas Behind Bars, and we give those Bibles personally to the inmates. They're underlined, they're highlighted. We go through each Bible and make sure there's no personal information in it, and we hand those personally to the inmates on their way, some to long terms of incarceration. So used Bibles are a great blessing. You can send those to us, homemade Thinking of You cards with first name only. We have a financial need right now, and that's Christmas Behind Bars needs a home. Right now, we're leasing a warehouse for the second year. We've had donated warehouses for the last 15 years, but we would like to purchase our own warehouse. There's 3.7 acres. There's 16,000 square feet, and the asking price is $350,000. It seems like a lot. The Lord has donated semi-trucks and trailers, and the ministry continues to grow across the country. In the last 2 months, we've distributed 11,000 packages, 1,000 in Texas, 5,000 in Arkansas, and last week we distributed 5,000 packages right here in Kentucky to four different county jails and a few prisons right here in Kentucky. So the work unfolds. It's not a seasonal outreach ministry, but Christmas Behind Bars needs to have a home, and we would like to purchase that warehouse. There's been much donated for that warehouse already: air conditioners, insulation, concrete. The Amish have come and donated their time and materials. So we'd like to have our own place, Christmas Behind Bars.
Christmas Behind Bars, year round. What a great ministry. We're talking to Lemuel Vega, who started more than 20 years ago, coming fresh out of an incarcerated situation, and just started in a little classroom in a church, thinking, yeah, that would be such a blessing. Now, while you were incarcerated, had anybody given you a care package?
Had anybody given me a care package? In a way, they did. I went to a church service one day, because back then on Sunday mornings, that's when they held church. Everybody from out throughout the whole prison can congregate in the church. You go to the church service to buy or sell drugs, and I went to church for the wrong reason. As I was sitting in the back of that church service in that maximum security prison, I was the third row from the back, third seat in, and I don't remember what the preacher prayed. I don't remember what the preacher preached, but I remember bowing my head, and I had tears in my eyes, and I said, "Dear Jesus, if you ever you can use me, I want to be used by you." And the one and only time that anything had ever been brought into any services in the prison that I can ever remember, there was a box of peanuts sitting at the door. It was like a 20-pound box of peanuts roasted and salted in the shell. And I was one of the last people to leave the chapel that day, and I filled my state coat with peanuts. I filled it clear full, and I love peanuts, and I'm eating them on the way back to the cell house, and I'm eating them, and I'm throwing the shells on the ground, and I said, "Man, these are amazing. These are awesome." And when I got to my cell, I took out the remaining peanuts, and I put them in my locker, and each day I would open my locker and take out one peanut and sit on my bed and appreciate the value of that peanut, something you can't buy or get in prison at that time. And so in a way, I did receive something from the outside. I did receive AA sponsors that would come in, people that cared, people that told us that there was hope for our life, that I never could drink again. And by God's grace, I never did drink again after I got out of prison, but drugs and all kinds of other things took that place. And so anyway, people did reach out to us, and I appreciate it so much, because I know the value of a volunteer's time. I know the value that they have to pay to come down to the prison when they could be many other places. And I know the inmates receive these packages knowing that the Thinking of You card, the Bible, the gift package, that someone took the time to put this together for them. And it's the love of God. It's God that gets the props. It's God that gets the honor and glory. It's not us. And the true meaning of Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the soon return of Christ. That's the meaning of Christmas in our world today, is how it should be. And that's the meaning that Christmas Behind Bars wants to share: the hope of the everlasting gospel. When we preach, when we sing, when we pass out these packages, that's the love of God in action, connecting people with Christ.
Thank you so much. We've come to the end of our show. Praise God. As you were talking, many times I teared up and choked up as I felt the Holy Spirit in your words. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.